I have written down Andy upskirt shot.
I also wrote down underage upskirt shots.
Do you have any impressions ready for this episode?
I didn't much care for it.
I'll just look through my notes as we go.
That's usually what people do.
You know what I watched recently? That was not Goonies. Goonies? No, I didn't watch Goonies. Well, that was a while ago. Watched What's Eating Gilbert Grape. You remember that one?
I never saw that.
It's fucking terrible.
Huh.
Don't see it. What do you know about it? Anything?
Lee Cap is in it?
Yeah, I don't call him that. I call him Leonardo.
Leonardo? Okay. Much better.
Leonardo. And anyways, it's a bad movie. Cold open. Line?
Welcome back, Death Batch. Death Batch. Batch of
Welcome
death.
Back, Death Batch.
Boom Bunnies.
Welcome back, Death Match.
Mo Munnies.
Welcome back, Death Match Nobodies. To a brand new episode of Nobody's Death Match, in which we talk about a movie that's, I'd say, universally beloved by most of millennials and perhaps emotionally stunted Generation Xers. A movie that offers no apologies for ridiculing an Asian boy's accent for at least 15 minutes of the whole plot. It's a callback joke that they do.
Or his propensity for technology.
A movie that, well, let's just come out and say it. It's called Goonies. Goonies is the movie.
Mm-hmm. The movie is Goonies.
One of us has watched this movie many a time as a child. That's me. The other, Steve, never seen it before. What's your fucking prerogative? How did you never see this? How did you never see this growing up? You didn't get invited to sleepovers.
It's my gap in pop culture. Everybody has one, and this was mine. Some people have never seen Princess Bride. Some people have never seen Ghostbusters or Groundhog Day.
So you think you were watching those frequently? And
yeah, I was busy with better
movies. Locked up in your bomb shelter just watching those three movies. All right.
Who introduced you to this movie?
My parents just recording anything that was on the TV.
Yeah.
I think.
Just to shut you up for a while.
Did your parents do that same thing where we had they recorded most any movie that would come on and, you know, commercials and all. This is before DVR. Got it. And it wasn't alphabetical or anything because it's you got tape one, you got tape two, and it just so happens to have Princess Bride right back to back with Goonies or something. And it's really frustrating if you want to watch Goonies, but you got to go all the way through Princess Bride or vice versa.
Right.
But they accrued so many tapes, we probably had 50, and then they had to have a library catalog that was laminated.
My dad made one.
Yeah, and it was alphabetical. But then you'd be like, oh, I want to watch, whatever, Beauty and the Beast,
right.
Tape six.
Right.
Your parents do that too?
Definitely.
Yeah.
He never taped Goonies though. That's for sure.
Do you hate him for it a little bit?
No, I'm glad he didn't waste my time with it. I was a busy kid.
I'll say, why did we pick this movie? Maybe you can tell me that. We picked it because we thought...
Why did you pick it?
No, we picked it.
Nope.
Oh, okay. I picked it. I think I picked it because I thought I would be able to make a stronger case for it. I had a... All right. I think I hadn't seen it in a long, long time. And like most other adults in my age bracket who did see the Goonies, I had nostalgic revenants for it and hadn't seen it in 20 years. Probably, wait, I'm 30. No. Okay. I haven't seen it in 15 years or something.
Yeah.
And recalled it being pretty interesting and entertaining all the way through. And also it's in my memories, it's it's bookended by all my other favorites, Indiana Jones and The Burbs and stuff, mm-hmm. It's all adventure based kind of stuff. Watching it was at times unbearable.
Yes.
And at the best of times, just white noise washing over my skull. For the lucky ones who don't know what this movie's about, Goonies. Goonies, Do you want to give the plot some? You want me to?
Well, first, let me say I appreciate your candor.
Yeah.
I appreciate, you know, it takes a big man to admit that The Goonies is not a good movie. Especially when you have nostalgic ties. Every time I see a movie from my childhood and I like it, I have that discussion inside my own head. Mm. Is it really good or is it just my old magical ties to it?
Yeah. All right. Plot some.
You want me to try? Even though I am less familiar with it.
Goonies is a movie about...
Here you go. Group of ragtag misfit young boys.
Yeah.
Nubile bodies.
We got...
Chunk. First and foremost.
My favorite. We got Mikey. Uh-huh. He's played by Sean Astin.
Uh-huh.
By the way, this is kind of a launch pad for some big name stars. Some rising stars in Hollywood, such as Josh Brolin, Sean Astin, Corey Feldman, the kid who played Data.
I thought the Truffle Shuffle was like a running gag through the whole movie. He only does it once.
He does it once, yeah. But that's what everybody quotes, and that's like what's on the shirt that people wear sometimes from Hot Topic. Right?
I thought it was at least like a theme or something.
No.
I was surprised.
No, Data trying to say booby traps correctly is way more of a running gag. I'm surprised there's no shirts at Hot Topic that just has Data mispronouncing it as, what does he say, booty traps?
Yeah.
God, fucking Christ.
Germany gold.
Goonies, ragtag group of, four, give or take three fucking misfits. And they live in Astoria. And they're all, you know, you might suspect that they're lower socioeconomic level. And there happens to be a white man. We're going to make this racial.
Trying to keep down the other white man.
Happens to be a rich white fellow whose son is Troy, who is like the quarterback of the football team or something. I don't know. He's a piece of shit, right? Dad's also a piece of shit. He wears a trench coat. Comes in. He's like, hey, we're tearing down your houses, or I'm going to buy them first, and then I'll tear them down, because that's real estate. That's business, people. Mwah, mwah, money. He's Donald Trump. And then he wants to, like, a golf course or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Goonies, which I want to figure out why they call themselves the Goonies. I don't know what that's all about.
Because they live at the Goondocks.
Dumb.
That's from the movie.
That's right. Wait, what?
Yeah, the Goondocks. That's what they call it.
That's from the movie?
Yeah.
What do you mean the Goondocks? That's where they live?
Yeah. I'm sure that's not the proper name. It's probably some nickname they have for
I thought you were making some boondock. I thought you were making it, trying to make it racial again or something like that.
I'm always trying to make it racial.
Wait, what?
We got to get through the plot somewhere.
Yeah, plot. Okay. Kids
the
home.
Place where they grew up is threatened by this development.
Yeah.
They can't afford to fend him off.
Right.
They just so happen to stumble upon a pirate map in the attic at the same time.
Yeah.
So they go in search of the treasure, hoping to find riches to stave off this real estate developer.
Yeah, I never really... I guess I didn't really, like when I was watching as a kid, too, I didn't really connect, like, that they're going on this adventure with the hopes of, like, paying their mortgage. That kind of, like, kind of takes the piss out of it or whatever. I thought romantic. It was just like, hey, we found this pirate map. Let's like find out what's at the end of this X or whatever at the end of this trail.
Well, just someone does say it's their last adventure or something.
Okay,
I'm not sure if they do it for reasons or
because I think a lot of them. Well, for a good part, I mean, Mikey, played by Sean Astin, I think he's the believer. He believes in One-Eyed Willie and the pirate bunch and all that, and the rest of them, especially Josh Brolin, are non-believers.
Heathens. There you go.
They don't believe him. Mm-hmm. I think it's bullshit. But they're like going along for it anyways.
Yeah.
I think we got the plot sum. Oh, no, we didn't get the plot sum. Because then also there's the Fratellis.
Ugh,
basically God. The Italian version of the Klopex. And there's like two, it's two Italian, no, sorry, two Italian brothers plus one deformed brother named. Do you remember his name?
Sloth.
Sloth, very good.
Yeah.
And Mama Fratelli.
Barf.
No Inception or whatever the fuck would be the what's exciting to you these days.
It was really
okay
boring.
So do a rewrite for me. Do you want one of the kids to like lose an arm or die perhaps?
Well, first make first make us like care about the characters or give them some sort of depth. Like their idea of depth is just giving a character one thing. Just divvy up the time a little better. Like cut out some of the yelling or like the panic or the chaos and have like a tiny bit of story.
Do you think they'd ever do a reboot of this?
I hope not.
I mean, they rebooted Willy Wonka. I bet they would reboot this. Ugh. And Steven Spielberg has proven himself like not to resist like shitting on his own legacy, right?
Right.
Crystal Skull, anyone? Yeah. So you didn't feel anything?
Didn't really feel a lot. I did feel anger sometimes at like how they push the plot forward. Like just
you have issues with that, I know.
Everything was like hanging by a thread. Like basically the writers were like, oh, we have to get from point A to point B. Okay, we'll have someone like literally run into a clue, like with their body.
Mm-hmm.
Just like very, very extreme coincidental, like stupid.
I think that's Steven Spielberg's like calling card or whatever. Like you remember Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade, where it's like, I think Indiana's dad like find, I don't know, 1,000 like secret passageways from right. just like farting on a wall or something. Right. They just open for him.
Yeah.
It gets I think he likes that kind of shit. He's all about like the weird serials and, you know, boys' adventures and stuff.
It gets to the point that it seems lazy or sloppy or like they just can't come up with a real idea. Like a way that you could naturally get from one point to the other.
Mm.
It's just super contrived and yeah. that bugs me. Even though it's a kid's movie, it's not supposed to feel like it was written by a 10-year-old. Even
whoa,
though
whoa, shots made... fired from Mr. Galbraith. Shit.
Seriously, though, what does the script look like? Seriously.
It's written in crayon, probably.
It's in, like, brackets. Everyone yells.
Okay, I think one reason, or another reason why, in addition to me being at an impressionable age when I watched Goonies so that it, like, foisted itself into the lobes of my brain and heart, chambers of my heart, and, wait, what? Hold on.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I got it, man.
Nailed it.
I got it. Yes. Another reason was that Cyndi Lauper, who is like some of her songs are like guilty pleasures for me. Like uh-huh. Do you know when you're a kid and you like, you hear a song and you can just, it doesn't necessarily have to be good. You just like enjoy it with like such reckless abandon because you don't have like you're not self-conscious yet, you're not like feeling judgment from other people, or you're not aware of it or whatever.
Yeah.
So like Cyndi Lauper has one tune in here, it's called Goonies Are Good Enough. I never knew like who she was or whatever, but like I'd hear her songs like out of context or in just like one realm of like my environment. So I'd hear it in a Goonies song, I'd hear Time After Time like at a assembly like in elementary school when like there's a bunch of like the traveling dance troupe is like, you know, running around with like those streamers, and that was the time that I was like able to like really enjoy music. And not, I mean, that's also like why I was like into Billy Joel and just like weird shit that like a little kid doesn't necessarily gravitate towards.
Mm-hmm.
My question, I have a question here.
Oh. That's a good way to enjoy music, though. That's how we as adults should aim
yeah.
to enjoy music, I think.
Yeah. My question is, at what point in your childhood development can you remember like the shift occurring, like the first time where you like become self-conscious or feel like shame for liking something just for the sake of liking it?
I think, thankfully, that phase was short for me, and I think it was in high school, maybe.
Oh.
Just because high school was such a terrible time on so many levels
uh-huh.
that I was just, like, withering constantly anyway, so...
Withering is a very descriptive word for that.
Me liking... I think there were some ska bands I liked, worthy of, like...
Ostracizing?
Yeah, worthy of, like, some comments, like, fag or...
Oh. I don't think you're a ska fag, Steve.
Thanks, pal. Maybe some Nine Inch Nails or something.
Oh, well, yeah.
But it was definitely in high school, and I think probably right after high school, I just came into the phase where I'm in now, where I just like whatever, and mm-hmm. I just like
it's a very happy return once you like find it again.
Yeah, it is.
I have an ice, like, I can think of two isolated events that happened in elementary school where that shift occurred.
Uh-huh.
And one was, I want to guess it was probably like in fourth or fifth grade. There's some weird like contract or agreement with like the cafeteria where a kid could volunteer to help out and like basically be like the lunch lady's like whipping boy for a day, mm-hmm. or for a lunch period. And it wasn't child labor because you weren't getting paid for it, but you get the promise of one of the big cookies, like a big chocolate chip cookie, like wrap, you know. So I was like, "Fuck yeah, dude! I'm gonna be like fucking swimming in cookies. I'm all about this." So I volunteered one time, and they make you wear these paper hats, you know, like that they wear at In-N-Out.
Yeah.
And so me and the other halfwits who were there, we were like, okay, we're gonna like fucking, you know, at that time you're like about your identity and put it in like being like, I fucking like, for me, I was like, I love the Orlando Magic. They're my favorite basketball team.
Uh-huh.
So I wrote like Orlando Magic on one side. I drew a basketball with a bunch of stars flying off of it. I was like, this is the fucking sickest town ever. So I got out on the lunch line. Then I'm like, yeah, man, I'm rocking it. I'm going to get a cookie. I got a badass hat. And then this kid who must have been like two grades above me, so maybe sixth grade or something, he comes along and it was really loud, so I couldn't really hear what he was saying, but he was like grimacing at me. And so he says something, and I'm like, what? And then I lean in, and then he says it again, and he's like, the Orlando Magic suck! And I was like, oh. And I gave him his milk carton, and then like I like cut to like me, like a sad Charlie Brown shuffle to like the back room, and I take my hat off and I crumple it up and throw it in the trash can.
Wow.
Yeah, and it gets worse. I grab a plain hat and then put it on, and then I basically like join the rest of the sheep in line.
That's terrible.
That was terrible. And then I think the other time that I can remember it happening in elementary school is that there's this weird kid who nobody liked because whatever. Maybe he liked Nine Inch Nails and ska. I don't know. He had some kind of thing to be hated, and somehow he figured out that I liked Julie, and I hadn't told anybody. But one day he just came up to me and was like, "I'm gonna tell Julie that you like her," and that again was like me, like just being like, just like inner turmoil in my identity, just like getting shuffled around and not being secure in myself anymore. Those were like my two in elementary school. That's what I remember. And that's why I like Cyndi Lauper.
Poor boy.
What? You didn't... I'm trying to get a read on you.
Just listen.
I know you don't like the movie, but I'm also trying... Like, I feel like I'm trying to, like... Rather than dig into this movie, I think I'm trying to dig into Steve. I want to know... I think I just scratched the surface with... Scott Fagst. Oh man.
I felt shame for certain things I liked in high school, but I never let it stop me from liking those things. I never threw out my magic hat. My paper magic hat.
What was the worst thing? I mean, can you think of a...
I wore my orange sunglasses. I wore my charm necklace with a football on it.
Wow.
I wore my rage ring.
What's a rage ring?
It was just a ring.
So like a mood ring, but it's always raging?
No, it says rage on it. Speechless.
It has nothing to do with Rage Against the Machine.
That's what people thought. And I was like, no, I bought it because Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh. Wait, what does that have to do with Smashing Pumpkins?
Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage.
So you could... rage.
Did you really get the impression, though, that the Goonies were misfits, though? I mean, they had
I didn't, because they don't really ever compare you to, like, their other peers or whatever.
No, just the older brother who, yeah. Obviously, the older brother is going to hassle the younger brother.
Right.
Right. So do you want to talk about the romances of the film?
I do want to talk about the romances. So let's take an inventory and then we'll dig deep into each of them. Okay, so we got Josh Brolin and then Upskirt Cheerleader.
Uh-huh.
We got Sloth and Shunk.
Uh-huh.
We have Mikey and One-Eyed Willie.
come on, that name? Seriously?
Yeah.
And having a little boy like talk wistfully about One-Eyed Willie?
Are you calling Steven Spielberg a pedo right now?
I don't know. Something close to it.
No. Okay. It's like the animators who work on like Disney films back in the early 90s or whatever, where they like, you know, they sneak in like a...
Yeah.
What was the shit that they do? Like,
it's apparently that said SFX instead of SEX, and it was an in-joke with the sound effects crew, is what I heard.
I thought there's another one. You clearly see the beast's bulge. Something.
I thought it was a sultan.
I don't know. Grasping at straws. I don't even remember.
If you turn it way up on that one Aladdin scene, you hear Aladdin say, "Take off your clothes," to Jasmine.
So far up that like your ears are bleeding.
You still have a boner.
Here's one thing I noticed. It seemed like Mouth, Corey Feldman, was supposed to have some kind of crush on the other girl, the blonde girl who...
She was my favorite, by the way.
I knew you would like her. I like her, too. She's also in Parenthood. I don't know if you ever saw that.
She, like, had some... Not even depth, but she had a thing going.
A face. And allure.
She was, like, unique.
Oh. Maybe I would have gotten there.
Maybe it's just because she looked like a hipster or something.
She kind of was. I mean, kind of floppy-doppy hipster. See? It seemed like Corey Feldman and her were supposed to have a thing.
Yeah, because they were
like, yeah, because throughout the movie they're kind of like they're the loudest or they're the most they're the most verbally sparring or whatever. And then at the end, they have a like everybody like all the couples are kind of hooking up and they're like, oh, here we are, and then they have a hug.
Yeah.
And then
a little flirty talk.
A little flirty talk of like, oh, you don't look so ugly without your glasses or something or whatever.
You're really pretty if your face didn't wreck it or something. It's something like that.
But that's it. And then they just hug. But it seems like, I feel like there's like maybe a deleted scene where they do like end up like.
Yeah.
But then they're like, oh, wait, this kid's probably supposed to be 10 and she's supposed to be 16. So they were like, uh-oh. We don't want that R rating.
There was a deleted scene with a giant octopus, and I was thinking, God, how much money did it take to...
You didn't have time to prepare trivia, but you had time to look into the deleted scene with the octopus.
Yeah, like...
How'd you find out about that?
After the movie, it brought me to the special features. And I...
You watched the scene?
I viewed them.
What? Can you tell me about it? I didn't watch it.
It's like towards the end when they're in the cove with the ship and all that, and they jump overboard.
Mm-hmm.
There's just like randomly a giant octopus that like almost eats them, but someone like takes a boombox and like puts it in the octopus's beak.
Oh my God.
Do octopuses have beaks?
Octopuses, what I remember, they have very full lips.
Sounds like
a very, wet dream for very you. Kissable lips.
looks. And then you see later at the end of the film, someone refers to it, and it doesn't make any sense because
yes.
they didn't see it.
Yes, because I think, when all the Goonies have like reunited with their parents or something, one of the little fuckers tells their parent like, "Yeah, we saw a pirate ship. We saw booby traps, we saw a squid," and then...
Gross.
Yeah, and I remember just being like, oh, maybe they're like, maybe just embellishing the story, because kids like to like dumb stories sometimes.
Tall tales.
Tall tales, that's a nice way of saying dumb stories, yeah, sure, I'll take it. Okay, so...
Romance.
I mean, romance. Tell me about Chunk and Sloth. I don't remember this kiss that you're describing. So everybody, Sloth is the... Let's dig into Sloth for a second, okay?
Let's
sidestep. Sloth is the physically deformed, probably
mentally
cognitively disabled, but strong man-child of the Fratelli family.
Right.
His whole story is like he's at their hideout. He's like locked, shackled downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
They feed him these weird like Olive Garden platters that just like don't, they don't look like food. They look like what you would feed like a bunch of swine or something. And he has to watch TV all day. And I don't know what they use him for other than, I guess he's just like the muscle or something. Like they use him to, I don't know. They just seem to like lock, like he's a fixture or something. They don't really.
Yeah, I don't get it. And I don't get why he was that way. The only thing that they mentioned in the film was the mom dropped him on his head when he was a kid.
Right.
Which I don't think that leads to that.
No. No. You get dropped on your head, it affects your brain, but it doesn't affect your face still. Like, forever. Maybe you get a black eye or something, but come on. Early on in the movie, Chunk gets introduced to Sloth and is initially terrified of him, as well as he should be, I guess. But then they, like, they befriend each other because they're both somewhat outcasts and they both have a love for Baby Ruth candy bars.
And they were both captured by the Fratellis.
Oh, look at, wow. So they got a lot going on. Actually, theirs is probably like the most substantial relationship in the movie.
Yeah, it's the one that makes sense, actually.
Okay. All right, let's go on then.
But so, it goes a little too far because with the Baby Ruth thing, they start feeding it to each other, which is sensual enough.
And they're tied up, which is kind of like, you know, SM shit, right?
50 Shades of Sloth.
Yeah, bondage,
huh?
SM, yeah.
And then, there it is. About 1.5 seconds.
Oh, wow.
But then they kiss.
I don't recall that part.
Really?
Yeah. When do they kiss?
It's with the candy bar thing. So it's like a whole series of sensual.
Oh, things. I remember what you were saying. Yeah. I think it wasn't necessarily consensual. Like, Chunk, I think, is like, ugh, gross.
Yeah.
But, like, Sloth is very excited about having his new boy toy friend.
Oh, God.
Somebody to share his life with.
So gross. To see an adult man kiss on the lips a prepubescent boy who he's not related to. It's a little much.
All right.
And then later they say they love each other.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got there.
Because they're the only ones who actually use the word love, right?
Interesting.
It's not like a Jack and Rose kind of relationship. We're not all on board for it, but there's a few positive aspects of it, but it's completely inappropriate. That's a takeaway of Sloth and Chunk, right? All right, moving on to the next relationship. Josh Brolin and Upskirt Cheerleader.
Uh-huh.
Listeners, if you didn't watch Goonies, there's a scene. Well, there's a couple scenes, probably.
Too many scenes.
So there's kind of like who's supposed to be like the hottie hot of the movie is like a redheaded cheerleader. Her name is, do you remember what her character's name was?
Andy?
Andy, thank you. Yeah, I did say that earlier, I think.
Yes, you
Andy.
Did. the reason I knew it.
She's a cheerleader. Basically, the whole film, she's wearing, like, the Letterman jacket plus cheerleader skirt. There's a lot of, like, you know, you see crotch, right?
Yeah.
How'd that make you feel?
It seemed a little too intentional for my liking.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it was just over and over, and it was like, oh, now you have to climb up these rocks and show everyone what they shouldn't be seeing.
Okay, so that's Andy, everybody. And she has other redeeming qualities, such as her fear of everything, her ability to scream on cue.
I think that's why I like the other girl, because compared to her, she like actually had a soul. I mean,
yeah. Andy was not. Cheerleader is like, well, Andy, yeah, Andy is.
What
like,
is her character?
She's.
There's absolutely nothing to her.
Not really. Andy doesn't really have, in some ways, just there for like another person to scream and someone else to like in need of rescue, uh-huh. Right?
You know, there's also that time Andy and
Mikey kiss. Yeah.
There's a lot of weird stuff going on in this movie. Underage upskirts.
Statutory kissing.
Yeah, statutory. That's the word.
Did we get all the relationships? Oh, well, anyways, yeah, Andy and Josh Brolin, they have a thing.
Yeah.
Right? Josh Brolin likes her because she's pretty.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Why does she like him?
And then Andy ends up liking him because, Well, basically, because like the her only other alternative in the town of Astoria is Troy, who's like a big douchebag, obviously. Yeah. Like, everybody can hate that guy easily. Yeah, I guess Josh Brolin is like nice to her. Are those the relationships?
I think that's it.
Okay. Where does Chunk fall for you?
He's just always yelling, and that voice is just like really irritating for me. That like kind of husky,
yeah,
loud voice, and always saying the same things over and over. Hey guys, the thing with the it's coming or whatever. It's just like, okay, God, that's all. Like, I swear, at least half the dialogue was just kids screaming like, watch out, or hurry, or whoa, or ow, or... It's like, it makes me angry.
Oh.
How'd they get away with it?
Listeners, Steve is currently wringing his hands right now. Or wait, what's somebody who's angry ring? Maybe a newspaper.
Hmm.
You're ringing a newspaper.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Could you imagine? What do you...
I like Chunk when he's, I think the kid nailed the part, and I like when he's been captured by the Fratellis, and they're, like, interrogating him about what he knows, and they're like, spill your guts! And he just, like, ends up telling them about, like, all the embarrassing shit that's ever happened to him, like pretending to vomit at the movie theater, and then it caused everybody else to vomit.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And they were, like, splicing it in with the other scenes.
Yeah.
It was good.
He's all right. Say he's all right.
He's all right.
Gotcha. We were talking about Andy already. I wrote, Andy gets hysterical. Leave it to women. What? Has weird body image issues. Do you remember her having weird... I don't remember what I wrote about.
I don't remember anything like that.
I know.
You have weird body image issues.
You have a weird body. Quintessential scene of the wishing well. This was a memory shard for me. When the kids come upon the wishing well, at first they think that it's like they found the gold or the jewels or something, right?
Right.
And they're like, oh no, it's just a bunch of fucking pennies. And Sean Astin finally gets to like try to act a little bit in this movie when he's talking about it. Like, they're arguing about, like, whether they should take all the pennies, and it's like, you fucking dummies. Like, if you take all these pennies, how many pennies would be in a wishing well? Maybe you could, like, accrue, like, $100? I think there's definitely 1,000 pennies in that wishing well.
No, 1,000 pennies is not $100.
It'd be $100
is
10,000 pennies.
10,000 pennies.
Wait.
Only gets you $100.
Okay, so you think there's only $10? That doesn't seem right. Regardless, people, fucking do your own math at home, all right? Fucking figure it out. But the Goonies think that they've, like, struck it rich, and they're arguing about whether to take it and everything. And then Mikey is, like, the fucking hero. Ugh, I don't really like Mikey. I don't like him, and I don't like his asthma. I don't like his fucking soapbox speech that he goes where he's like, these are somebody else's wishes.
No, you have to more little bitch.
These are somebody else's wishes.
A little more of a bitch.
These are somebody else's dreams. These are somebody else's wishes.
Why is he southern?
These are somebody else. These are somebody else's dreams.
More husky, too.
Husky?
Yeah, he's got a little rasp to him.
These are somebody else's dreams. Anyway, he's a little husky bitch, and he makes everybody feel bad about wanting to take the money, all $10 worth of it. But that I remembered very clearly. And then also the scene, like, they have the opportunity. It's like kind of like a nice little like choose your own adventure sidestep where it's like, hey, Troy's up there. He could actually like get us out of here and rescue us. Troy, the piece of shit jock guy. And then that's where Andy apparently has her big character development and chooses the Goonies over popularity. Way to go, Andy. And she puts her dumb Letterman's jacket on the pail, and he pulls it up.
Right.
I remember that scene very well. What did you think about that scene? Did it another scene that you just were?
No, that was.
There was not a lot of yelling in that scene. Maybe you enjoyed it.
No, that's what I was talking about. That was one of the very few scenes that like they just took it down just for one fucking second to get a little character development in there.
Oh shit! I forgot that also. Corey Feldman has a line in there too. He says, he grabs one. He says, "Wait, is this Corey Feldman saying this? This one was my dream, so I'm taking it back." And Mikey is saying, "Like, no, up there it's their time. Down here, down here, it's our time. Down here, it's our time. Husky enough." What do you mean by husky? Give me a husky voice.
I can't do it.
Down here.
And he like down here. He does duck lips.
Down here.
Guys.
Yeah, guys.
Guys, down here it's our time. Guys,
oh, I think I got
down here it's our time.
I think you got it. Hey, Mikey.
Hey, Mikey, how are
you? Nice to meet you. Welcome to the studio. okay. Can we talk about the Fratellis a little bit more?
If you want.
I guess. I don't like them.
I don't either.
They're fucking idiots. They're really like, you're three adults versus six kids.
Yeah.
And you're like getting your ass handed to you. Mm-hmm. You have a gun.
Right.
And you're like walking across a log and you all slip on your groin and it's like fucking Three Stooges shit. Fucking dumb.
Yeah.
These guys suck.
They really do.
I read when I was initially going to do trivia for you, but then I stopped because you promised that you would do trivia for me. I read that they filmed that scene without the kids having seen the pirate ship, so that they were like even more
true wonder. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Who gives two shits about a pirate ship, man? Have you ever seen a boat and gotten excited?
No,
I have not. I see a cruise ship like out on the harbor.
Yeah.
Can't give two shits about it.
Ruins my day.
So Sloth saves the day. They all jump off the boat. Then there's like a cave-in, but they're able to like get out through that like small little tunnel because Sloth is holding the boulder up, but everybody has to like nutmeg through his legs and like go really close to his crotch. Yeah. Didn't care for that.
No, thank you.
Really gross.
No, thank you.
And also again, Chunk is like, no, I'll stay with you. I'm going to stay here. And Sloth's like, no, you go too. And Chunk gets out of there. And then we don't think Sloth's going to get out, but how does Sloth get out?
I can't remember.
The Fratellis get out of there. And it's like, fuck you, Steven Spielberg.
It's just
fuck
a mess. Fuck you, Goonies. Like, there's so much that doesn't make sense. It's a mess. And they don't respect the viewer enough to like make it make sense. They're just like, mm-hmm. Oh, they're just fucking kids. They won't know that this doesn't make sense.
Oh, here's another weird thing. You remember how we were talking about like the weird age discrepancy kissing or the statutory kissing?
Yeah.
So they escape. They reunite with their family members and everybody's happy. They're like, yes, yes, you're safe. Andy, the cheerleader, tells Mikey, you keep kissing girls the way you do. The parts of you that don't work so good are going to catch up. She's talking about his boner? Talking about his micro boner?
How does she know?
And then,
I think she's talking about his lungs because he has asthma.
So she's giving him a false hope that if you keep kissing girls well, then your lungs will be repaired?
Then they won't care about your asthma, I guess. They won't care that you're like wheezing into their mouth. All right, trivia time.
Wait, hold on. Got some more notes here.
Oh, okay.
I'm almost done. Chunk tells Sloth that he's going to take him home. That's weird. That's weird. Take him home and fucking rail him, probably.
Oh, God. Gross.
Okay, and then Rosalita, the maid who's been tortured by Mouth and is basically just a one-dimensional character, like a, you know, monolingual Spanish-speaking maid woman. She finds the jewels that Mikey recovered. And lo and behold, apparently they understand the conversion rate of these fucking jewels in his marble pouch. They're like, yes, we have enough to buy back our homes. Get the fuck out of here.
You How much know. Is a house? Yeah. 6 jewels, right?
Yes, I have 10 rubies here. We're fine. We're fine. So the day is saved. Confetti, confetti. My last note was, fuck off, Mikey. Why are you so sentimental about a dead pirate? He cares a lot about One-Eyed Will, and I don't understand.
Does. He like respects him. He leaves part of the treasure for Willie, which I didn't know why that connection was there either.
All right. You want the trivia music?
Trivia round.
Meow, 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 meow. Trivia.
It's good. Question one. The last name of the brothers who are chasing the Goonies is Fratelli.
It's Fratelli.
What does Fratelli mean in Italian? It means brothers.
I wasn't done. You're the worst.
That wasn't an actual question. It's just so stupid. I wanted to say it. It's so Goonies, though. It's like, oh, what should we call the brothers?
That's terrible.
Let's call them brothers.
So had they been...
Question one, the real question one. What is Chunk's real name? Not the actor's name, the character's real name. Which is mentioned
Wesley.
In the movie. Wrong.
J-Jai.
Yes, correct, J-Jai.
J-Jai.
Yes, correct.
Mr. J-Jai? All right.
Lawrence.
Lawrence what?
I don't know. Lawrence.
Screenwriters, man.
Fucking, he doesn't need any last name.
Yeah, they're done at 5 o'clock, obviously.
Question two. From what material whence came Chester Copperpot's skeleton? From whence did it came? From what?
What?
Material.
Skin?
Skin.
What are you talking about, man?
What was Chester Copperpot's skeleton made out of?
Oh, like for the actual prop.
Yeah.
Seems like paper mache would be the obvious choice. I'm not going to go for paper mache. That is what they made the... Well, never mind. We're not talking about Indiana Jones anymore. I'm done. They made it out of... Ready Whip.
Plastic.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Like, okay. Whatever.
This is some hot questions. The actor. Question three.
The dun, actor.
Dun, dun. The actor.
This one's mine. I called dibs on this one.
You're 0 for 2 so far?
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
I would have gotten for Telly's.
Not so easy, is it?
It's quite easy, actually. It's quite easy to be horrible and wrong all the time.
Question three. The actor who played as Chunk had a certain illness at the time of filming the movie, but he didn't say anything because he wanted to keep the role.
Okay.
What illness?
Diarrhea.
Was it?
Wait.
Chicken pox.
Oh, okay.
That's such a little kid thing. If you would have used your noggin on that one, maybe you would have got it. Quite a shame.
You're a very spiteful trivia host, aren't you?
Question four, which is worth 2 points if you can get it. Recite the Goonies oath.
There's more to it than Goonies never die?
Yes.
But that's part of it?
No.
Oh. Goonies. Wait, hold on. Give me just 2 seconds. Give me 10 seconds. Give me 20 seconds. I keep thinking of Mighty Ducks chant. It's not quack, 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 though. Once a Goonie, always a Goonie. Goonie.
Goonie is as Goonie does.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh. Goonies stick together.
Oh, that's part of it.
Okay.
You're sussing it out.
Does it rhyme? Goonies yep. stick together in all types of weather. That's my final guess.
I will never betray my Goondock friends. We will
Goondock?
I told you.
Fucking kidding me. I don't remember Goondock.
We will stick together until the whole world ends. Through heaven and hell and nuclear war, good pals like us will stick like tar.
Excuse me, when did they said this in the movie?
In the city or the country or the forest or the boonies, I am proudly declared.
Are you on a fan fiction Tumblr right now? I don't remember this in the movie.
A fellow Goonie.
You're out of line with that one.
That's why it's worth
automatic
2 points.
I get 2 points anyways. Nope. For sitting through that.
Question five.
How many points do I have now?
0.
Oh. Seemed like a lot more.
During the scene wherein Chunk, played by Jeff Cohen, cries during his confession.
Yes.
Jeff Cohen, the actor who played Chunk, thought of a certain thing to
sound
produce.
Like James Lipton right now, by the way. There you go on.
To produce his tears.
Oh.
What did he think of?
That's fucking good trivia. Holy shit. He probably didn't think about what it would be like to be captured by an Italian family, because he doesn't have experience with that. He's pretending to have that experience. He thought, okay, he's probably like a 10-year-old boy. What would I have thought about to cry at that time? He thought about a cat that died recently.
If you were Jeff Cohen.
Jeff Cohen. What makes him tick, do you think?
I don't know. Gotta dig deep for this one.
Jeff. Is it very personal, or is it kind of like a thing that any kid might cry about?
It's pretty general.
He thought about his parents dying.
It's gettable. What?
He thought about his parents dying?
Thought of his mother dying.
Oh, yes!
That's definitely killed everything.
Okay, I'll do a softer one. Oh, yes! Nope. Oh, yes, sir! I got it.
So you get half a point for that.
Fuck.
Actually, you get a quarter.
Why?
Because that was your second guess, and because you said
parents
my first
guess?
Instead of mother.
What was my first guess?
I can't remember. We'll go to the tape.
You bastard.
You bastard. Question six.
How many are there?
10.
Awesome. I've already got a quarter of a point. I'm fucking home. Home free.
One of the sheriffs in the jail references another movie that was also produced by Steven Spielberg. What movie was it?
E.T.? No. I can't tell your face if I'm right or not.
I can't tell your face.
I can't tell your
what
face.
What is your face?
What your face tell?
It was Gremlins.
Shit.
The sheriff talks about monsters that multiply with water. Question eight. How many times is the word shit or bullshit uttered in the film? Plus or minus 2.
That's not very fair.
I thought it was fair. I wasn't going to say the plus or minus.
I think it should be a... Wow, you're a saint. I think it should be a range. Like, if I were to be in charge of this trivia, which I should be, I'd be saying, like, is it A, 20
to
25?
I don't do multiple choice. That's not my style.
Plus or minus 2, huh?
This ain't no disco.
Shit or bullshit?
Yeah.
23.
20.
Oh,
you
motherfucker!
You just missed it. Oh.
You're killing me.
Eric.
It was really 20?
Well, you got a quarter of a point so far. You're doing good.
Unbelievable.
Doing real good. Got two more questions.
What?
Question 9. The black and white movie that Mouth watches on his TV in the first scene is the car chase scene from which film?
You gotta give me a clue.
It was made in 1959. It was directed by Billy Wilder.
Do you know this movie?
Yeah, I've never seen it, but it's well known.
I only know car chase scenes from 1970 on.
So you're 11 years off.
Who's in it?
I believe Marilyn Monroe is in it.
I only know Some Like It Hot.
That's it.
Wait, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One and a quarter.
Ooh. Making a comeback.
Digging himself out of a hole.
Oh, God. This is in trivia. I just wanted to mention this. The novelization of the movie confirms that Chunk's parents actually do adopt Sloth.
Oh, no.
Going so far as to throw him a bar mitzvah.
Oh, my God. I mean, Christ. They probably just share a queen bed, don't they? It's horrible.
Here's another one that's not a question. The pirate ship was entirely real. All the shots were filmed in the ship. After the film, it was offered to anyone who would take it. No one wanted it, so the ship was scrapped.
Nobody wanted it. Oh my God.
Question 10. John Matuszak's makeup for Sloth took how many hours to complete? Plus or minus 1 hour.
That's not fair.
I'm being very generous, I think.
6.
5.
Yes!
2.25 out of 10.
Woo! Nearly should be more like 3. Actually, 5 for that 2-pointer that I sat through as you. All right. Thank you for the applause. That means a lot to me. final thoughts. On the Goonies.
God, who's gonna listen to
it's
this?
I think this is the first one that like I was expecting to like more, and I was like thoroughly crushed and disappointed that it did not it didn't hold up. My fully developed adult brain called this movie criminal and does not care for the loosely scripted plot. You had a bit major issue with all the kids screaming. I don't know, like I felt like I was able to understand everything that was being said and occurring.
Yeah.
Chunk, I still like.
You hang out with him.
I'm not gonna hang out with him. He's got a weird relationship with Sloth.
Yeah.
Sloth would probably like crush me, like feel jealous or something if I was hanging out with Chunk.
Which Goonie would you be? Not just core Goonies, but extended Goonie family too.
Okay. I think I'd probably have to be Mouth.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
For me or for you?
For you.
Oh, thanks. Why do you think that?
Just because you can't be any of the other ones.
I know. What about you?
You might be a little bit Josh Brolin.
Hey.
I think you're a mix.
I get the girl?
No.
Hmm. That's where I go back into Mouth, where I'm just like, hey, I'm younger than you. I'll be your friend.
Yeah.
Ugh. What about you? Who are you?
I think I'm gentle heart.
Mama Fratelli?
Emo gentle heart.
Mikey?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like you had, I mean, you didn't really speak of it, but it seemed like you had some bonds with him and his asthma and you and, you know, everything you got going on.
You know. What the thing? Who was the most compelling character?
There weren't any.
That is correct. 3.5 points. 3.25.
Yes. Do you have any other final thoughts?
How
about this? Why don't you give a public service announcement to those who have not seen the Goonies or who haven't seen it in a long time and continue to put Goonies as one of their favorite movies on their MySpace page?
Okay. So this is like after the podcast and I throw a towel over my shoulder and I sit in a director's chair and I'm like, hi everybody.
Yeah.
This is Steve Galbraith of Nobody's Deathmatch. I would tell those people, I would still encourage those people to watch it and, you know, make their own decisions, their own judgments. I'm glad I saw it because this is one of those movies that for at least 5 years, people are like, what? You haven't seen the Goonies? How can you not have seen the Goonies? Like, it's one of those.
It's cultish in some ways, yeah.
And really, honestly, like, that did not make me want to dislike it.
Right.
Like, I went into it really expecting that it was going to be like magical and cool and have like lots of little quotable things and have all that stuff that those movies have.
Like, but now that you've seen it, you can like hold steadfast against those like proselytizers who are like, right. Hey, have you seen the good news about the Goonies? You'd be like, yeah, I've seen the good news. It's fucking bullshit. Fucking why don't you go check it out once in a while? Cause it's terrible now.
So I felt disappointed too. Cause I had expectations because everybody's always, but I realized I think most people's love for it is just based on growing up with it.
Nostalgia. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those that doesn't really have any merits on its own.
Agreed.
I feel like we're missing something.
Booty traps. Bye, everybody.
There it is.
Hi.
See, we didn't really disagree, so I don't think it was as funny.
I know.
That is the real key.
Sorry.